You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals. We're coming at you live from Leslie Kritzer's roof closet.
Attic.
With my sister sit behind me. She left her apartment because she lost her job. So she's like, can I store stuff at your house? This is all her
in your voiceover closet. That's the funniest way that anybody, get on the Zoom and you're like, I'm in my voiceover closet. You don't even call it a voiceover studio. Like, at least, in our house, our voiceover studio is the closet, but we call it the voiceover studio. You're like, no, this is a closet. We're in a closet. So, I mean, it's kind of a nice start, I guess. Have you been doing some voiceover stuff during during pandemic land? Do you spend a lot of time in this crawl space?
Well, I mean, in the beginning, I was doing a lot of CarMax. I was like the voice of CarMax for a whole year, which, by the way, I booked that on my iPhone.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm telling this because also it's like if people are like, well, I don't do voiceover. I never really can get into it. That was me. And my agent at my agency, the voiceover agent, was like, just try it. Just get back. I'm like, I spent 15 years trying to do voiceover on and off. And he's like, just whatever. Fourth audition. I recorded on my phone because I didn't have anything yet. This is way before the pandemic, maybe a year and a half ago. And I booked it on my phone and it turned into like a big thing. So then I upgraded because I had to start not only recording in the city, but also recording at home. And then pandemic hit. And then everyone did a mad rush to do this, which is outfit any space. I mean, if you're making buku bucks, people bought like the brick, studios that you can build and they're like amazing. People just upgraded their microphones, got the external thing for this microphone and figured it out because the voiceover business was still going and it's one of the ways you can make money and still do this. So it was like a mad dash. Everyone was like, what do I buy? What do I do? So, I set it up. I did a lot of recording. I did a bunch of stuff here, some stuff at a neighbor's booth. That's an engineer that also couldn't work at the time. They're opening now. The studios are opening back up slowly. But everything was sort of renegade. So I had to figure out stuff that I never in a million years knew about Source Connect and crossing things and all of this stuff. When the need is there and you're like, I gotta make money and I can make money, I'm gonna learn. So I did. And it's been great. It's a little slower now, but when the voiceover world's so weird, it's very small. So I've been very happy to book the ones that I've been able to do. And
especially because it seems like it's getting even smaller and smaller. The amount of times I'm like, is that Jason Bateman recording like a local car commercial? I'm like, what is happening?
Probably is.
Taylor Swift is doing a national commercial. I'm like, there's no jobs for anyone anymore. You really have to be famous.
No,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And on the auditions, they'll be like, we want an Amy Poehler, Mindy Kaling, Viola Davis. And you're realizing that the reason why they're saying that is because they had those people and they don't want to pay them. That's why. So they want you to sound like, but I've literally gotten auditions where it's like, we want a Viola Davis. I'm like, then hire someone of color. Don't ask me to be Viola Davis and or pay Viola Davis. But sure, like hire us because those people want way too much money and we're cool.
And we need it.
Totally.
We need it. Yeah. They don't need it.
My mom she'll text me or call me whenever she hears a celebrity doing a commercial or a voiceover spot like that. And she gets so angry. She's like, you should
be
doing
this. I appreciate
that
she recognizes how angry she should be.
Exactly. And I'm like, I appreciate that, Mom. But I can't, I am not Matthew McConaughey.
Sandy.
I'm not, I would love to sell cars, but they don't want my face. But maybe they want my voice at some point. We'll see.
Joe, who are we talking to this week? Let's give the people a little bit more information about the genius woman
that's right.
here.
I go right
sorry,
in.
People.
I'm sorry.
Leslie Kritzer is so with us. We're so thrilled. Beetlejuice, Something Rotten, Elf, Sondheim on Sondheim, Legally Blonde, A Catered Affair, Hairspray, Robert Bridegroom, one of my favorite things that I ever saw. I loved
that
production.
A bunch of
off-Broadway stuff, a bunch of cool TV stuff, Difficult People, Kevin Can Wait, Younger, Vinyl, Law and Order. Are you embarrassed yet, Leslie? Because usually when we
no, I was actually just thinking as you're, I was like, oh, I worked. Yeah. Those are jobs I had.
That's awesome.
So an actor is saying his lines, and then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Jimmy, don't cry for me.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a million questions and, you know, stuff to go over.
Awesome.
I mean, I would love, maybe if we just start right at the beginning, because I think that, well, I guess it's like the end, but the most recent beginning is Beetlejuice. That, I mean, our first question is always like, let's do a deep dive on one of your projects and talk about the way that that came about. And also, I would love to know how that came about, but also how it ended. Unfortunately, I mean, that was such a horrible.
Yeah,
it was. Y'all were catching the fire. The spirit had caught, and then
and we were moving.
Were you the plan to move?
We have a theater. I mean, we have a theater. It was going to get announced. We were about to. Am I allowed to say this? Who cares? We were weeks, like, who cares? Really? Yeah. Like, really?
Also,
there was no NDA.
No. We have two listeners, and it's my mom and Dan's mom, so it's all good.
No, but Joe, we're a real podcast. This is
sorry. This we're a real podcast. Yeah.
Whoever's listening to this, leave a review.
Yes, please.
we were weeks away. I mean, you want me to start at the end?
Sure, that'd be great.
The beginning?
Yeah.
You want to do that? Okay, so we were closing in June. Our last show was March 10th. It was a Tuesday. And we were weeks away, a month away, from live capturing the show that they were going to either do on Netflix or HBO. It was all set. We were planning our vacations around it. It was like a real, real deal thing. We had whole dates. So we were basically going to do what Hamilton did. Obviously, not a $76 million price tag on it. I don't know what would have been. But so we were gearing up to do that. We had a theater. That is still an ongoing conversation. But that's where we were at. And it was insane. I mean, the fans, I don't want to say hype because it wasn't hype. But at a certain point, it was just people loved it. And that was it. But it grew so much over months and months, and we had no idea that was coming. So when it closed, it's so crazy to look back that week before we stopped, everybody stopped, because I remember going to get my hair colored, going into Duane Reade. It was Saturday morning. I went early before two shows. And things were starting to, like, disappear from the shelves. Like, I remember this, like, Purell, and then, like, you couldn't get the Purell, then you couldn't get the wipes, and then... But we had them at work and they had them backstage, but no masks at the time. And we were just going to work like, all right, everybody, just wash your hands. And then it turned into like, all right. And then it turned into, there's Tuesday. We did our last show. It was an awesome show. And I actually remember I was talking to my friend Dana Steingold, who was in the show also. And we were remembering how awesome a show it was. It was just a crowd. And that was, we were on this crazy new 5-show weekend schedule where our days off now are Wednesday. So we had our day off, and I was in the midst of my day off, and they called and said, yeah, there's not going to be a show tomorrow. And then it just turned into every day there's not going to be a show, and then nothing, right?
Because the 13th, I think, was the day when the mayor called it, but it was late.
And funny story, I have a picture of it. I don't know where it is. We had a huge poker game here on Friday night. Like, all the Broadway people that live out in Jersey where I lived, we had like 11 person. My husband plays poker. 11 person from my cast, there's people out here, all playing poker. We have that picture. And we didn't realize on that Friday, you know, so we last show's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're like, we think this is going to last like a week, maybe 2 weeks. Okay, but we're fine, right? Like, we didn't understand contagious this, that. We didn't really get it. So we have that picture of that Friday night. It's like a bunch of us sitting around playing poker going, that was full on a super spreader. Like, we couldn't have gotten half of Broadway out here infected by our poker game. And then after that, it was like, you guys know. I mean, it was just done. And then when it was announced that Broadway would be, God, it's so long ago.
Yeah, what month is it?
January.
Even, you know?
Right. And this was called about Broadway coming back June 7th or whatever it was. And we were closing June 6th. That's when it really hit. We were like, damn.
Wow.
Like, we didn't get to close our show. And now we have to go and get our stuff. Going and get our stuff, that was weird. We had 20 minutes in the building, timed intervals to run in, grab whatever we could. This was 2 months later, after March 10th. I mean, that was... I videoed it because I was like, I'm going to want to see this someday. This is like a weird thing that I'm coming to my dressing room and grabbing whatever I can in 20 minutes. The place that, you know, you're there every single day.
Yeah.
And so you just run out. And then we finally had then they had load out. And then someone tragically passed away at our theater during tech, which was a load out to prepare for the next show to come in eventually. Which was so weird also. And our crew was there. So it's just like, it's just been a long road. With that said, there is hope for it to come back. I don't think it'll be in the first wave of shows to come back. I think the big heavy hitters will come back first, but we're hearing positive, and by positive, I'm talking like a year from now, if it comes back.
What an unbelievable story. But also that little glimmer of hope, like I'll take that. Like I'll take any of that. And I mean, it was such an incredible story in sort of contemporary musical theater, you know, a show that had this almost like Wicked kind of had this it didn't really catch. And then all of a sudden it became a phenomenon. Like if, you know, Beetlejuice could do that possibly, you know, and it started
and it did.
Yeah. I mean, it did. So like, you know, we went out of town and I'll start
awesome.
Now.
Yeah.
Like if I'll give you some detail, if you want to know how I got involved in the show, it's because of Robert Brygroom, because I worked with Alex Timbers on Robert Brygroom. And then he's the best. The reason why I love him so much is that he really lets actors do what they do best and doesn't get in the way, but then comes and tinkers and you respect him so much because he gets you and what you do best.
Yeah.
And he always chooses people that are great to work with for the most part. I mean, it's always a great working environment. So we had a great time doing that show. And then he said, hey, Leslie,
what the heck are you doing to Alex?
I can't do it.
You with the headphones, but it's the hair and the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys. Yeah. Have you worked with him, Joe?
I have. I did Moulin Rouge with him.
You did Moulin Rouge?
I did it in Boston and I did the development labs. And anybody who's worked with Alex does, it's the great, you know, he's like 6'4", but walks around like he's 5'11". You know, and so he's really hunched over. He's got the hair behind the ears and he always wears a baseball cap, even though he's got like the best head of hair on Broadway. Anyway,
We came in one day in rehearsal in DC, all dressed up like him for Halloween. Oh no, for his birthday, I think. No, it was
That's
for Halloween. We all
amazing.
Dressed up. Everybody in the company had to wear a jean, a button down, a hat. walk in like this. He was mortified and loved it at the same time. So
that's brilliant.
So during after Robert Bridegroom, he called me. He's like, "Hey, Leslie. So I don't know. I'm doing this reading of Beetlejuice. I just want to know if maybe you'd be interested in doing Delia." And I was like, "Yeah, of course." from our first like just reading, and I was like, "Yeah." And I, you know, growing up, I've seen the movie. I wasn't like a huge fan. It kind of scared me when I was little, so I was it scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "I'm not into this." But obviously, Catherine O'Hara, I'm a huge fan. And right. Idolized her forever. So I didn't even watch the movie again because I had to stay far away from her because she's had so much influence on me anyway. So I just know her. Right. I'm just obsessed. So we did a couple of readings then, and I kept staying with it from the beginning. I mean, we did readings and then we did labs. And then, you know, full on stage labs and all of that. And then that was it. And, you know, we got to go to DC and I stayed with it the whole time. There's a small group of us that have been with it the entire time. So, which is very cool. And,
yeah.
But yeah, I was very lucky that he just brought me along for the ride and it was great. That happened.
That's so cool. I wonder when you're building something as sort of this is a horrible way to describe it.
I can't wait to hear the question.
Okay. So there won't be a question, Dan. This is like how it works with me. Like I'll just ramble on about how great Leslie is and then we'll be done. But like when you're building something that insane with that, there's not pyrotechnics, but there's so many like crazy costumes, there's mm-hmm. magic. There's all of this stuff that has to happen. Like when that comes into a process, at what point does that come into a process and how much, like when you're sitting at a music stand, just like making stuff up,
right?
You know, how did that work for you guys? Is there somebody like reading stage directions or is it like, "Hey, just sort of picture this, like there will be fire at this point"?
Alex does that. And like they developed the stuff with the special effects people mm-hmm. really early on. So there would be like little sketches of things, the sandworm coming on stage, the big sandworm. We didn't get to see any of that until our first day of rehearsal for DC, where they gave a huge presentation. But like there'd be what Alex loves to do is during the labs, he'll have sound in the room with us doing special sounds, thunder, mm-hmm. whatever. He loves that. He loves planning that
atmospheric stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He likes having it there. And Callan Hughes, who does like a lot of the sound effects, he also brought them along for the whole process. They got their Broadway credit because he loved how they did the timing. They worked so well in the room mm-hmm. that he kept them on through DC. It was kind of amazing. He really does care. Like these things matter to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really big opportunity for them as well. And anyway, so like little things like that. It's very collaborative. So, you know, it's Alex Brightman, myself, Adam Danheiser, like all of us, especially the people who are doing a lot of physical comedy, we throw it all out there. I mean, when we're at the table read, yes, some of the stage directions, because our writers, Anthony and Scott, are comedy people. So they put a lot of the stuff in there and then Alex would add stuff. So Timbers would add stuff. So when we're sitting at the table, it's more basic. But once we got up on our feet, even in labs or just staged readings at music stands, yes, all the sound stuff was there. So it started really early that we were able to throw things against the wall. We started using props with the stands. I don't even know if I was allowed. I did it anyway. I didn't care. just because I'm like, I have to have a crystal. Like, I don't want to talk about a crystal and not have it. So I just would bring it from home. I love my bag of crap. Because I just want to have fun and I have more fun with the real thing. So he's always open to that. Little moments would start coming out. Like once we started to have real set things in, like when rehearsing for DC, everything was there. All of this stuff, like bouncing couches and tables and chairs. He wanted to really stage everything. And especially since there's so much physicality for us to be able to really do it as many times. And then, you know, we just throw stuff at the wall and see what's, stuck. And that's the beauty of working with him, because at least in the comedies that I've done with him, he's just like, what do you think we should do here? And I'm like, what about this? And he's like, great. And then he'll make the idea even better.
That's awesome.
Like, he'll add on it. Like, I was like, oh, I don't remember an example, but there was always something. He's like, why don't we make it not a fan, but like a turkey feather or like something. And then you rip it off. Like, you know, it's just always like it flows, and it's so fun.
Yes. And now I know that Alex Brightman has a huge, I mean, I don't know what his improv background necessarily is as far as training, but I know just from knowing him and doing readings together that he's always making shit up.
He's a fan of the podcast. He's been on our show.
Yeah.
Did you have that kind of background? Did you have experience doing that kind of work before? Or are you just kind of like a fuck it, I'm gonna do a big kind of person or actress?
I mean, I've done some improv training, but I think it's like I've always been this way. I'm always that person in shows that has ideas, that has dialogue, that has, and I also write too, so I feel like my wheels are always turning, and I come in and I see something. There's a part of me, I think you can train and you can do all that stuff. And I think part of it, you're born with it too. Like it's just part of, you've been doing it since you were a kid, and it's really no different. Like when I talk to kids in talkbacks, I say, you know, what you do in the privacy of your room when you're acting stuff out, that's what we do in rehearsal.
Right.
But we have an assigned characters and lines, and then we make stuff up, and then it gets, you know, kind
edited.
Of trimmed down.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's a mixture. I wanted to be more in like a UCB world. I never got up to like the top level, and then I got on a team because I was doing musicals.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
I was in Hairspray. I replaced Shoshana Bean in Hairspray. Mm. She left to do like more music stuff after her first year there. And we went to school together and I replaced her. But I was downtown after the shows watching other people's shows at UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I would take class, but I had to choose. And so I chose that. And now all those people are in LA.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
All of them are LA. Some are happy, some are not. But it's kind of cool to see like where everyone went.
Yeah. Like, I took classes there for a little while, and it's amazing now to see like, oh, that's the guy I used to see like in shows, like as little recurs in every single show in New York or LA. Like, oh, I used to see him on this team. What team was that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Cat, like what team?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
team was it?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the crossover between like musical comedy and improv in that way, there's like a great Venn diagram between the two.
Yeah.
You know, and especially someone like yourself. Who were your heroes growing up? Were you somebody who was like a huge fan of like comedy and like TV and that comedic world, or were you more of like a, you know, like Carol Channing and, you know, like crazy, I don't know, like crazy, silly musical theater people?
I mean, at a certain point I discovered Faith Prince and Guys and Dolls, like my junior year of high school, because I was like, I can do that. That's what I love that, because the album came out in like 95 or 94. And I was doing musicals in high school at that time. So I was like, oh, this is what I want to do, when I started like deep diving into cast albums or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like Faith Prince was one, but I always loved Bette Midler. Like always, from just because.
Right,
like,
she's, not.
Yeah, it's like that's a crossover in the sense of just as a performer. And then, of you know, my father was a musician, so like we grew up with great music, but I always loved Judy Garland. I always loved like Ella Fitzgerald. Like you're talking like singers and then some that were actors. But the comedy stuff, I mean, I grew up, I don't know how old you guys are, but the sitcoms that we grew up watching, I mean, some of the best comedic sitcoms ever done, you know, All in the Family, and like there's the list goes on and on, right? But then stand-up was a big thing growing up too, because there used to be shows like on VH1 that had like stand-up comedy spotlight, and I used to watch Roseanne and who else? Like 8 million people always watch like Eddie Murphy. And like I grew up watching stand up a lot, and because my dad also liked it. And so I was more influenced by like Lily Tomlin, Gilda Radner, comedic actresses and stand up, mostly male stand ups. I was drawn to Robin Williams, obviously another actor and stand up comedian, but it was kind of just a mix, but I was always drawn to it. And then musicals became like a, I studied classical piano for many years, and then I thought I was going to do classical voice. And I was like, what is happening? That's not, that's like this part of me. I'm this whole other thing.
Right.
And I started doing musicals in high school, and that's how it, just in my high school, I didn't audition in the city or anything. And that's kind of how it started happening. And I found that CD, Faith Prince, and then I was like, where'd you go to school? She went to CCM. Oh, I want to go to CCM. And I went to CCM. Then like years later, she played my mom on Broadway. And that's really crazy.
Wow.
So it's like, there was, I don't know. I look back, I go, wow, I was 17. And I was like, I'm going to go to school for musical theater. Yep, it's happening.
Were your parents into it?
They were going through a terrible divorce, so they were totally into it. It was a positive thing, but it was kind of the craziest thing. They're like, we hate each other. And I'm like, I'm going to school for musical theater. They're like, fine. Great. Go for it.
We have bigger problems. Yeah.
Right.
Go. You do that. You know, they were supportive, but it was a crazy, it wasn't like, oh, our daughter. It was like, get out of here. Save yourself.
Oh, gosh.
From this Jersey horrible ending to your high school career.
Oh, my gosh.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I actually wrote a show, a solo show called Beautiful Disaster about my senior year of high school that I almost didn't graduate because it was a really bad time. I literally did not graduate. I'd graduated with a D average, you guys, like by the skin of my teeth so that I could go to school for musical theater because I was a mess. I mean, I could have gone two ways in life.
Yeah.
Like 7-Eleven hanging out at 43 years old or... doing what I've done. It could have gone either way.
And what was
so
the difference?
Interesting.
What was the difference?
Yeah, like what was it that stopped you from going down the wrong path?
I sort of like I had this epiphany and I have to credit my teachers because teachers have had a huge influence on me ever since you know, I was younger about applying yourself and like, we see something in you. Why don't you, whatever. I had this epiphany. I think I talked to my guidance counselor at the time and she was like, what are you going to do? Like you're ruining this. Like you have so much going for you. You're just giving up. And I think because my home life was really rough at the time, it was just really, really difficult. And my mom wasn't well that I came into this like dark place. And then I, through a series of events, probably some teachers and also my dad kind of going like, you got to get yourself together. Like you're talented. You could do this. I was like, and that's what I wrote the show about. I was a kleptomaniac. I was stealing. I mean, I was trouble. And I said, you know what? You're right. Like I can, my love, the thing that made me happy was theater, was doing shows, was being in whatever I was doing in school and or chorus, whatever. That was the only good thing at the time. And so I just said, you're right. I'm going to do this and I'm going to pass. I got like a 900 on my SATs. It was a mess. and I was like, and so my teachers worked with me. They said, okay, this is going to be like really hard, but you can do this. You can pass and you can graduate high school and you can go to the school. So I had terrible grades, but I passed. And then CCM was like, we don't give a F about your grades. Barbara Ann Somney, who is a composer. She lived in my town and I was like, I need to like do this. I mean, we didn't have internet. We didn't have phone, like cell phones. Everything was in books about colleges, you know? It wasn't like, so I had to get auditions. I had to go to Cincinnati and audition. Like, I had to figure it out, and I did. My parents did help me. I did, and then, you know, I got in, and they gave me some money, not a lot. It was a state school, so it wasn't too expensive. But I did it. And then next thing I knew, I was in a van driving with my, in a van down by the river.
Down by the river.
Down by the river. Van down by the river. Driving to Cincinnati, and he's dropping me off at my dorm. And it's like, you know, I just put it in my mind. I was like, I got to get out of here. Otherwise, right. I'm going to just go down this road. And it was not, it wasn't good. Like, I wasn't like, I was like partying, like high school kids party.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was a mindset. It was like, I had the goods. Now I just had to apply myself. And so I didn't do it alone. I mean, definitely the teachers got behind me and they were like, you're going to fucking do this. Like, let's go.
Right.
And pulled it together.
Wow.
So, that's an awesome
story. That's an awesome story.
I kind of feel the same way, except like I wasn't in trouble. I just was like spiritually in trouble. Like, did you feel like that, Joe? There was something about it that I was like, I got to get out of here and like, make something of myself, you know.
Yes.
My sister and I talk about this a lot, that we like, we were this close to being fuck ups, like like we were on the edge. And I love that story, like those moments where like you look back at your life and you're like, I could have ended up at the 7-Eleven,
right?
You know,
yeah,
hanging outside the 7-Eleven, and instead this is where I ended up. And I'm so great. Like, for me too, it was teachers. It was a support staff. It was like people who saw you, like saw your struggle. And, you know, you wanted to be an adult at 17 and 18 and you were, and you're going through stuff. And
somebody looks at you and terrible
stuff. And somebody grabs your hand and is like, come on, like snap out of it. You're going to be, we got to go, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
And to my parents' credit, I will say, even though they were both a disaster, to their credit, they did, for me, pull themselves together, because it's terrible when, you know, and if anyone's listening to this that's gone through a terrible divorce, when it's real bad, and, you know, they did at points, they were like, okay, like, we're going to think about you now. And
because they're just kids raising kids anyway. That's one of my favorite quotes ever, is like, we're all just kids raising kids. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. So even though your parents, you know, you're like, mom and dad, get it together. And they're like, but somebody hold me for a second.
Right. And we're mad.
Yeah.
We're pissed. Our lives didn't turn out the way we thought. And you guys have your whole life ahead of you. And you're like, but we need you to guide us because we're dying over here. And in retrospect, look, you know, and then, you know, we get old and we realize exactly that, that like they're just parents, like they're just kids having kids and they're just trying to figure it out.
Right.
And I have a great relationship with both of them now. And so it's all good. It worked out.
It's really interesting. I always find it amazing how many times I've heard people who are genius comedians who have had hard upbringings and how that is paralleled, because you just force yourself to see the world a different way. I'm wondering what is the greatest challenge that you've had in your illustrious long career?
I think to mentally stay, I don't want to say mentally stay sane, but to just career-wise not give up when it's gotten really hard, and it's gotten really hard. There are times where I was like, wow, the things I've been told about myself, like, you know, oh, you're just, oh, if it was only 10 years ago, or, oh, it's past your time, or, oh, you know, we don't know what to do with you. We don't know what to do with you. You know, like, those are small things, right? Yeah. Like, to kind of keep believing in yourself and keep going when you're like, can I do this anymore? How long can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I do anything better? Can I, you know, just, and this is not as much now, but for a long time, that was, I think, especially like in my early 30s and like it was, or my late 20s, it was really, it was hard. I think also balance. So trying to find balance in a career with like my life and work and what's important. You know, I made the choice not to have children. I don't think it's because my career was more important. It just wasn't in the front of our minds, both of us, my husband, who's a musical director. But I wrestle with that too. I'm like, oh man, should I have done that? It's not like it's too late, probably too late to have it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky. Mm. it's never too late to adopt, but you know, it's like things as you get older, I'm 43, you start to like really reevaluate what's important. And especially now, I've really reevaluated what's important to me through this year. My husband calls it the gap year.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, balance
our
and just mental
sabbatical.
Health.
Yeah. Balance I and mental health. That's really interesting. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. No, I just like that it's the gap year, not like, cause some people, ooh, it's the lost year. It's the this year. It's like, no, like a gap year is a time for self-reflection and a time for growth and a time for space. It just means that you're like not necessarily going to do 8 shows a week, you know? I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of a positive spin on it.
I've learned a lot this year. I've done things that I've never been able to do, but also I've been able to have some sort of growth, like real growth in a way that I have never been able to when I'm fully working and yeah. I'm uber focused on 8 shows a week or the rat race of our lives.
You said that you write. You said, are you writing? Mm-hmm. That's like,
yeah.
That's very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. I've written a bunch of solo shows and, you know, I love when people are like, I've written pilots.
That's what Dan and I do.
Don't say that to us.
That's what Dan and I do.
We've written pilots that 4.5 people have read.
No one's read mine. No, actually, that's not true. I've written many scenes that people have written, read. Yeah, I love to write. That's another thing. I'm doing more of that now, and it's kind of like moving in that direction. But again, it's taking yourself more seriously and not just like, oh, I'm just a musical theater person. Like, that's not, it's never really what I've been. But once you keep doing it, like, you just sort of put yourself in a box and it's, you find out it's not useful when you really can do other things. And not just because of like, oh, me, I can do other things, but because you just love, like, you really want to, like, doing more TV and film or doing whatever it is, voiceover, like, okay, I'll, and then, oh, you know. Just not like keeping yourself so locked into one
But it's lane. A totally a response to people telling you that they don't know what to do with you. So
exactly.
You're like, oh, I'll tell you what to do with me. I'll be exactly what you want me to be. And then you realize that didn't really serve you.
No.
What they were really doing was killing the thing that made you awesome, you know? And then
right.
you have to like rediscover that.
Well, and that's, and to go back to your question, Dan, I don't know if I answered it completely, but like, yeah, people were telling me what I should be for so long. And then when I broke out of that and started making my own work and doing a bunch of stuff that I've done at Joe's Pub and stuff, my aunt, like videos that I've made and whatever, I was like, well, this is part of me too. And this is who I am. So I'm going to go do my thing. When you feel like hiring me for your show, great. And then I think once I started doing more of that, I think that's probably, I don't know if Alex saw me. He saw some stuff I did online, but also probably from other shows. But people start to see you there and they go, oh, I never knew you did that. Or I never knew you were do characters or whatever.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And they'd never, it's funny when the thing about opportunities in the business, the traditional business, is that they don't give you the opportunities unless you've done it, but you can't do it unless you've done it. And so then how do you do it? It doesn't make any
right.
sense.
Right. Doesn't make any sense. This business makes no sense.
None.
So then you just make character videos with your, you know, home setup and
yeah,
Alex Timbers thinks you're funny.
Yeah. And or you like do some weird off-Broadway show and you're actually wackadoo, but you're doing exactly what you do.
Right.
And
right.
he's like, who is that?
To that show, Robert Bridegroom, had he seen you before, or did you just come into an audition and just be a Looney Tune? And
it's a good story.
Yes.
So I did this show off Broadway. It was really fun, really wacky. He came to see it. He was like, oh my God, perfect, blah, blah, blah. Like, just liked me in it, right? And he called my agent. He's like, I'd love to have a Zoom call or a FaceTime call at the time, Zoom. No one used Zoom then. Hello?
Right.
FaceTime with Leslie and just talk to her Skype or whatever. And he's talking. He's like, I'm going to redo this thing. So nice to meet you. I'm going to redo Robert Bridegroom. We're going to make it like Mumford & Sons. And it's so cheesy and weird, but I love it. And Alfred Uhry is going to work on it. And like, I so see you as, you know, Salome and da 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 da. And I was like, great. Okay, cool. And then he was like, but I want her to audition. So he, so when he, I thought he was going to just be like, give it. I was like, oh, I guess you're giving me this job. Then he said, no, I need her to come in and audition. So at the time, I don't know what got in me. I was going through like a weird, like, I hate the world moment. I'm like, I want to get out of this effing business. I'm so mad. I was like, I don't want to audition for this. Like, I don't feel like audition. I'm so mad, so angry. And then Aaron's like, yeah, yeah. My agent's like, yeah, you don't need to audition for this. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to. And then I was sitting on a train and I was like, who do you think you are? Like, right. It's Alex Timbers. You have never worked with him. You are an idiot. You are auditioning for this and you're going to shut your mouth and you're going to go in and do it. And if you know what, you don't get it, who cares? And if you get it, it could be the greatest thing ever. And that's exactly what happened. I went in. I had a great time. I didn't care because I was like, who knows if I'll get this or not, but I'm here to like get out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And also to show Alex Timbers that like I respect him so much. And I got
totally.
It.
That's so
it's another
cool.
Just, it's just, I had a very, I had it the same experience this past week where I, again, said, I'm not going to audition for this. This is ridiculous. I'm not right. I'm not this. And I got the job.
Right.
Because
let's
I just,
go.
I got out of my way. Half of it's getting out of your way. It's right. Getting out of your way of what you think you know. You don't know anything half the time. Yes, we're very smart. We all have a lot of like experience. But like, I'm not the deciding factor. If I put right. myself on tape for something, they're the ones that decide. So just do your work and stop like getting whatever.
I love
so
that.
I have to relearn that lesson all the time. And so I'm saying it out loud to whoever's listening to his mom.
Yeah, we're listening. This
Joe's
is super
mom.
Helpful for Joe and Dan.
Joe's mom,
and Jeff,
yeah, get out
sure.
of your own way.
Just
make that recipe.
Yes.
Get out of your own way.
No, well, actually, it's so funny that you say that because my mom's a chef. She owned a catering company.
No.
That went under during the pandemic. And so she's like, she's like, we're working on a cookbook together. We're like
yes.
trying to like
right,
do the
right.
thing. So I'm like, so if she listens to this one, mom, let's go.
Get out of your
go,
way. Get go. That. Yeah. Get it out there. People need your stuff.
That's so
that's
good.
Totally.
Oh, I love it. Well, Robert Bridegroom, you guys made a cast album. The Robert Bridegroom Off Broadway cast
awesome.
Album is available on Spotify and everywhere else.
So
it is so good. We'll get into the end. We're going to let you go. This has been so, so wonderful. And so we just have a couple things we finished up with.
Yes.
One, what is the most influential musical in your career? It could be something you've done, could be just something you loved. You know, what was something that
got to be Guys and Dolls with Faith Prince, right?
Oh
is there anyone else?
That's one of them. I won't choose one that I'm in. I'll just choose one that I love. Oh God, I had one. I loved Evita. This is going to be crazy. I loved Evita because I loved seeing a central, strong, powerful, female driven show. Mm-hmm. And I saw it when I was in high school and it sort of changed my Montclair Community Theater, but it was an unbelievable
oh, yeah.
production and I'll never forget it. And it just was like, oh yeah, like women can be strong and doesn't matter what the show is about, but it was just power and a powerhouse mm-hmm. show. And I was like, I want to do that too. Like Faith Prince, but I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So
hell yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I mean, it's the representation you know. Matters. You have to see it. Well,
yeah.
you have to see it, you know?
I mean, I can go into a Sondheim deep dive, but.
Well, I mean, we could do a whole, I mean, after doing Sondheim on Sondheim, we could do an hour on that, you know? Damn it.
He's.
And Dan, why did we make this an hour? We could have just, who's the guy, who's that horrible guy that has the 4-hour podcast?
Let's
anyway,
not say his name. Don't say his
no.
name.
Okay,
show.
Moving on.
No 4 hours.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I have a question. What would be your advice to young Leslie's?
Dan, you just like hit me. You like, it's like went right to my little heart. Oh my God.
Your little heart. It's going to grow three sizes.
Well, because all the kids they're going through so much right now, you know, and I hear from them on Instagram. Yeah. They write to me. I opened a P.O. box, by the way, for the Beetlejuice fans that didn't get to see the show. They had playbills. They never got to get signed. I opened a P.O. box just in my town. And I said, write to me. I will write you back. I'll sign your playbills. Whatever you had that you wanted to give or whatever, I can send you. And so I've been doing that. One of the most fulfilling things this entire time I've gotten. They know me at the post office. That's how much stuff I've gotten. So It's been amazing. Just kids. All kids. Anyway, to answer your question, possibilities are endless. And the world needs your humor. So make them laugh. And don't stop making them laugh. Because it's a gift.
That's amazing.
I wish somebody told me that.
Really?
Seriously.
I just tried to be so serious. We were just talking about this with another guest. I just tried to be so serious. I just want people to take me seriously. I just so wanted to be good that I forgot that just like making people laugh is good enough.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? Like making people happy is actually what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, like really?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is also time to break people's hearts, but like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I find with the high school students, and we've talked about this on the show too, that like there's so much trauma in their lives and in their world that like they they put up the barrier that then they're not going to, like you were saying earlier about, you know, what you do in your bedroom when you're goofing around pretending, making up voices and characters in your bedroom by yourself. They're never going to show the world that. Because they're too afraid because they've been so conditioned with all of the trauma and all of this fear and all of this judgment, you know?
Well, and they think we're so far away from them, right? Yeah. They look at us on stage or on TV or whatever, and they think, oh, that can never be me. And that's when I talk to kids in these talkbacks, I was like, we are the same. We did exactly what you guys do now when you're in your shows or chorus or whatever. It's just that we've grown up, we've kept doing it, and we happen to get up here, and we're very lucky that we did. It's not always this,
right?
Mm-hmm. But we're the same. We're just in different stages of this. But if this is what you love, keep doing what you love, stay in the love of it and the joy of it, mm-hmm. especially now when you're young, and do everything.
Yeah,
don't say no to anything.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say no to anything. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good. And then my question that I always ask is, what is your unreachable star, which is such a cheesy musical theater reference, but you're like, you know, what are you pointed towards a million miles in the distance?
Like aspiration?
Yeah, like something you want to do.
I mean, it would be awesome to have a production company where I can be a part of producing and involved in new work, film, television, theater, where I can just be a part of a vessel to get other people's stuff, whether it's mine, but also other people's things as a producer behind that to kind of get things out in the world that people need to see, stories other than the ones that are in my head that I think are important, but others that I'm inspired by, and be just like a baller in that way, like a female producer and creator, and collaborating with some of the best people in the world. I mean, that would be the dream.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Act two. Yay! Can't wait to see act two.
Well, and Dan, thank you so much for all your help. Dan's given me so much information about like leveling up my lighting and everything. And I'm just such in awe of you. You're just amazing. Joe, I'm not in awe of you.
I'm new.
I know. This is my favorite episode.
Dan's not either. You fit right in. If it's a little bit of making fun of Joe A little bit of stroking Dan's ego. That's what we do here on Guys.
That's
like
what
Musicals.
We do here.
Dan is doing many things right now.
That's right.
He's wearing many hats.
He is.
Joe helps me manage my hats. He does.
Exactly.
Joe, I have a feeling you're fine. You scare
fine.
Me a little bit, Dan. I like that. You're a little scary, and I kind of like it. Keeps me. It's like, okay, I want Dan to like me. That's it.
Me too.
I'm joking and I'm not joking. I'm joking and I'm not joking.
I am. That is the realest thing. The dude was the best man at my wedding. He's my best friend in the world, and I'm absolutely scared of him.
Right.
That is fantastic.
But
wow.
You know he's not going to hurt you. You know he's like the best guy in the world. You just want him to like you more than other people.
Wow.
Oh my God. That
Dan,
is
I think
right,
I just
right.
learned
I
something
it.
About myself today.
That's
this is great. I'm going
to awesome.
I'm going to take this with me into my journal.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Yes, we love
unbelievable.
Cuz I can't imagine that anyone would care what I think. So that's where I'm coming from. That's
Dan,
amazing.
No. What? No, yeah. That is so not true.
That's
not
what true.
I look
think.
At the, oh my God, I watch your videos. I'm like, I want to know everything he knows. And I want him to I'm going to show him that I'm going to be better.
Well, when you were talking about growth earlier, I was like, you know, she's not joking, everyone. Like she wanted to learn how aperture and exposure works, like really in depth. She bought herself a fancy camera so she could make better content. Like that's
shouldn't
awesome.
Have done it.
You shouldn't have done it.
I shouldn't have bought the camera first. I know. Remember you said I'd tell everyone don't buy the camera.
You don't have to buy a camera first.
You don't, but I did.
But you had that money like that.
I had
like,
money. Like, who
so
cares?
You were like, let's do it.
I was like,
you can learn. Listen. You wanted to take on the new hobby. That's my thing. Don't buy a camera unless you're going to like invest the time into a new hobby because otherwise you're just going to be disappointed. But you want to learn and that's
do
what you've
learn.
Done. And apparently you care what I think, which is hilarious.
I do, Dan. I'm not so, joking. I really do. I'm a fan and I think you have a gift and you have a laser focus thing that I like it and I understand it. A lot of times when people are talking on videos and stuff, I'm like, I don't, but you explain, you're just really good. You're good. That is all.
And that's all the time we have today.
That's all the time
great.
We have, Dan.
Wow.
Dan's oh, favorite episode in the can.
What a day.
Dan's favorite episode.
Thank you for listening to Guys Who Like Musicals. We are now part of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Woo!
We are hosted by Dan Tracy.
That's you.
And Joe Carroll.
That's me.
We're produced by Ryan Kincaid, and Matthew Mucha is the social content manager.
You can find us on Instagram at Guys Who Like Musicals, on Twitter at Musical Guys, or the old-fashioned way at www.guyswholikemusicals.com.
If you'd like a chance to be featured on the Ask the Guys segment of our show, please call 203-900-7990 and leave a message with your question. As always, thanks for listening.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.